Steakhouse. So God willing, it'll be here later in the week, but we'll get started nonetheless. So we all know that the basic premise of Edim Zomimin is Kasher Zomim Lasos Lachiv. In other words, whatever they were trying to do to harm the person that was the subject of their testimony, so that is what will be done to them. But there are some times that that's impossible, and the question is, what do we do with such cases? They defame a Kohen. A Kohen, they say that he's not really a valid Kohen, that he's a Chalal. Maybe he's not even a Kohen. What would it even mean? He gets Malkos. And the Gemara points out that it's not just sort of an illogical thing, because what would it mean for him to be a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? Could have no nafkamina whatsoever, because it's not like it renders impossible the Avoda, but it's also based on the Pasuk, Kasher Zamam Lasos Lachiv. What he was really trying to do to this person is, once a person is determined to be a chalal, so then that goes down from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation. It's not just la'achiv, but, lo lazaro. So just to, do it to him would not add up. So mi'idin anu b'ishploni, shehu chayiv legalus, that he has to go to God, so retzeach b'shkag, en omrim yigla zatachta ve'luk arbaim. Again, you get Malkus. Right, as long as the husband predeceases the wife or divorces her, he's obligated the ksuba payment, whatever that is, $10,000. So there's a market for everything. That's what we learned, right? There's a market for everything in the world, right? You go to Lloyd's of London and they have a book on everything. So here's a situation. You have a ksuba market. So you get a bunch of actuaries in the room and they'll figure out, what are the chances, right, that this ksuba is actually going to be paid? So you have to know the facts. If she predeceases him, the ksuba is not going to be paid. If he divorces her, or he predeceases her, the ksuba is getting paid. So the ksuba is worth $10,000. You might find somebody to buy that for $8,000, right? Because the guy is saying, yeah, it's a pregnant, it's not a bad bet. You know, most men die before the women anyway, and, very common pattern. And maybe they're not getting along so well, so we get a chance at gerushin here too. So, okay, so that would be a reasonable way of making such an assessment. Okay, we should know from such things, but... Okay. So it turns out these people are falsely testifying that the guy has to pay up a loan of whatever it is, $1 million within a month. And really he has 10 years to pay back the loan. That's what the Mishnah says. So how do we, it's not like we're going to assess the person $1 million fine. It's a question of how do we assess that amount of money. So what would a person pay to have access to that capital for another 9 years and 11 months? And the answer is probably almost $1 million, right? Because in 9 years, I don't know if you invest it well, right? You don't have to pay that loan back. So, you get a few bonds and a few hedge funds and you buy, a property on Grayson or something like that. That's real money right there. So, most people would be happy to... have the capital for another 9 years and 11 months. It's not an insignificant amount of time. So you assess whatever that amount of money is, and they're up for paying it. And the next Mishnah says, okay, v'nimsu zomimin, so standard case of mandos, lokinu mishalmin shalashem amivu de malkos mivioli de tashlum and divir meir. So Meir says, the guy gets two consequences. First of all, he has to pay masayim zuz, that's kasher zomam, that's one din, and then he also gets malkos, because the principle is, lo Hashem mevioli de malkos, mevioli de mamon. It's two different violations. Why does he get malkos? Because he's violating the Aseres HaDibros. The Torah says, lo sana v'reach ha'etshaker, you're not allowed to lie. So that's why you should get malkos. So we don't pask in that way. We pask in like the Chachamim. The Chachamim omrim, kol ha'mishalim eino loke. That once somebody pays, so they don't get malkos. So of course, Rabbi Meir would say, well, why not? The guy deserves it. He's paying because he was an Eid Zomim. But... there are a lot of ways in lying in court. So why don't we say, we got to get him for the payment because he's an Eid Zomim, but we should also give the guy lashes because it's a terrible thing to lie in court. It's a violation of the Aseres HaDibros. So the answer really is, according to the Chachamim, something very profound, that we say that when it comes to Malkos, Malkos is meant to rehabilitate a person. that Malkos Makom Isomed, it's like giving a person a new lease on life. And you take a person who really deserves to pay with their life for violating the Torah, and you give a person a chance by saying, okay, we're going to give you Malkos, and then the Torah says, V'nikla achicha le'inacha, then the person will be rehabilitated. So if the person can be rehabilitated via some other means, let's say by making restitution, so then maybe you don't need the Malkos, because you're already achieving the similar aim. So Kol HaMishalim in Aloka might be understandable along those lines, if Malkos is supposed to be, you know, something which is, on the one hand, punitive, but on the other hand, rehabilitating. Maybe paying the money is good enough. That would be one of the theories of the case. Anyway, we paskin, anytime somebody makes restitution, there's no need to subject that person to Malkos on top of that. So again, in most cases, Edim Zomimin, it's just going to be whatever he tried to do to the other person. But we have a number of exceptions, like Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, the case of In Ir Miklat, the case where a person, says a guy owes the ksuva, etc. The loan is due now as opposed to 10 years from now. These are cases where Kashrus Amam isn't really applicable, and so we go to alternative mechanisms, but no, the point is certainly nobody should get off scot-free. More on this discussion moving forward.